Welcome to the Balanced Perspective Podcast, where we're going to be challenging perspectives on what it actually takes to become successful in business and in life every single week. I'm Terri Ann Richards, your friendly neighborhood serial entrepreneur and your guide to growing an impact-driven business, fueling both your community and your life at home. Enjoy this episode. Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Balanced Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Terri Ann Richards, and boy, oh boy, do I have a treat for you today. Today, I have my guest, Dana Lloyd. Dana is a keynote speaker, author, and a leadership coach. She's also the host of the podcast, Soul Sister Conversations, which I had the privilege of being a guest on. Mm-hmm. And Dana and I go way back in like the entrepreneurial space. I can't even remember how long ago I met you, but I'm going to make the assumption. I think it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Okay. It's probably been 10 years and time flies. So
time flies when you're having fun, but you know what? Everything is like 10 years ago now. Like I still think I graduated 10 years ago and I know that's not true.
Yeah, so do I. And it's definitely not true.
So over the years, I've been privileged enough to be trained by Dana. I don't even know if you remember this, but you trained me through the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership,
oh, yes,
John Maxwell.
That was a while ago.
That was quite a while ago. I still have the certificate because I love certificates.
I know you do.
It's like my thing. I've now
check
taken it.
Box.
I got to check a box, but I've taken it off my wall because I have other certificates, but I've have it in like those little clear
the
sheets.
Folder.
Yeah, I do. And I take it out every once in a while and I look at it. So I did do that. She's been actually an expert speaker at one of my sold out Be the Balance retreat. And I believe that was 2 years ago. And she actually has been my coach when I was writing my first book. She's the lady who kind of kicked me in the ass and questioned me. She didn't actually kick me though. And that was my book, Why I Divorced My Husband. So I have had lots of interactions with Dana. She's always a pleasure to have conversations with. She basically oozes everything self-leadership, everything leadership, and definitely is a true entrepreneur. And I'm really excited to have her on the show today. So thank you, Dana, for saying yes.
Well, thank you for asking me. This
no
is awesome.
No problem. So before we go into everything that you are today, mm-hmm. I'd really like to get you to share maybe a little bit about your journey into becoming an entrepreneur. What brought you into, you know, coaching and facilitation and, you know, getting up on stages and speaking in front of hundreds of people and then obviously writing a book. So how did you get to that place?
Well, that's a bit of a story, but I'll try to put it in a nutshell. It's funny how things often come together, and I guess I'll start at the end to start at the beginning, because when you talk about all these things like speaking and writing a book, and those are really what things I call now are callings. And it was obviously something speaking to me a long time ago. I joined Toastmasters probably 12 or 15 years ago. And I joined that because I wanted to get better at speaking. And I didn't have a speaking career. I wasn't doing anything. So why would I even want to do that? It's like I intuitively knew I was going to do that. So those were kind of the rudimentary beginnings. And I just started showing up there and trying to get better in that space. And it was because really at that time I was staying home with my children. I had left my job in the corporate world. And I began to have these rumblings around, what should I do with my life? So when my kids go to school, what am I going to do? And I just happened to have some girlfriends. I went away with them for the weekend. And they said, hey, we have this friend who is practicing to become a life coach and she needs some clients. And I thought, oh, well, I'll try anything. And I really thought the life coach was really going to help me, you know, let me fill out a form. And it would spit out something that say, you're going to be a blank. You know, it would just be nice and clear, just like that. And when I met with her, she said, oh no, Missy, you're going to do the work. I'm like, wait a sec, well, I'm going to do the work, but I'm, you know, basically relying on you. And so, you know, as coaching goes, as you know, it became this series of very powerful questions and conversations. And for the first time in my life, I realized that the focus was on me, all about me, and really helping to drum up all those treasures from the ocean floor. And I was saying things that I was like, where is that coming from when they're asking me, you know, if time and money were not an issue, what do you long to do? You know, what must you do in this lifetime to feel fulfilled? And when I began asking those questions, it really began to make me think about my life in a different way. And I was super impressed with the kinds of questions. And I thought, well, maybe I'd like to do what you're doing. And so that really took me on the path of entry into coaching. And then, of course, it just morphed from there over the years, you know, doing life coaching. And then I got introduced to John Maxwell. You know, I love corporate leadership as well as personal leadership. But really, corporate leadership is personal leadership. It's all leadership development, right? It's really all about you. And my husband, you know, is a senior leader. And so we always have a lot of great conversations around that. And so everything just kind of spills out from there. And of course, you just begin executing your dream about, you know, writing a book. And those then all line up. I remember one of the things that my coach said to me when we were unearthing everything. She said, boy, you have a lot of cards on the table. And what she really meant with it, I wasn't just coming to her to figure out, you know, what should I do with my life? She could hear that I was really trying to understand what is the meaning of life? Like, what's my purpose here? And that took a while to start answering that, hence my book, but it all eventually comes together. But it's funny that you find a starting place, right? You know, it says, what is a journey of 1,000 steps, you know, begins with the first one. You know, you have to take the first step and see if it works. So in a nutshell, that's my beginnings, I guess.
And that's your beginnings. So what is it about leadership that I guess you're so passionate about? Because I think for as long as I've known you, it is what you ooze. You definitely show up as a leader in the way that you mentor and you hold yourself in a crowd, one-on-one, but it's definitely obviously become a passion in how you write, what you speak about and all of this. So what is it about leadership that you're so passionate about?
Well, I think it's one of the most powerful things that you can do is to grow. Certainly, I wouldn't really even say, I was always interested in learning, but it was about learning skills or things. But it's, I don't even know where I get on the path, but of personal leadership, that's where I saw the greatest amount of impact in my life, is that when I began to grow, so did my life. As is true of business, as you know, in the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership, it's called the law of the lid, right? So if you're 0 to 10 and you rate yourself as a 7 in terms of leadership, well, how can your company grow beyond a 7? How can it be an 8, 9, or 10? You're right. It only grows when you grow. And I think that is true of everything in your life. So I would say that, you know, at the depth, my core, I am a teacher at heart. I'm trained as a teacher. And really, instead of being in the public school system, I've really just switched it into this format, which is, you know, we call it entrepreneurship. I really identify more as a creative, but this is the path of being able to teach people. It's just different for me, but I really like this lane because that's where you see major impact. And I see so many people struggling. You know, so many people struggling, suffering, really. And a lot of it, as we know, really has to do with mental health. But I feel like when you grow, and a lot of what I talk about is got the spiritual side of things now, it's doing that inner work. And that's, you see it drive results.
It's crazy to me, the conversations that people can have when they're trying to fix, you know, business issues or relationship issues or whatever issues, but it all really comes down to the inner stuff, right? And it's like, if you can become the best darn version of you, then you are forever, you know, pushing past that personal glass lid that you have, so that everything that you have around you, business and relationships, grows with you, right?
Absolutely.
But so many people don't go there first. Yes. And I remember... it's just like a thing that they all seem to just sort of avoid. They, you know, they want to look at something external, but really
outside of themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're looking the wrong way. You're pointing the wrong way.
Exactly. And I remember when you got up and spoke at the Bee Retreat, I think your title of your talk was Joy is an Inside Job. I believe that was the title. Yes. Or might've been the subtitle. Yep. So give me a little bit of understanding more on that topic, because I've heard you talk about it a few times, but maybe people who are listening haven't. And I'd like you to maybe explain that concept.
Well, for me, you know, I probably, you know, I was always interested in doing work, but it my own personal work, but it really shifted when my mother began to fail in health. So that was about 2011. And I know everybody falters and dies. Like that's, you know, that's our path. Mm-hmm. But somehow I just could not wrap my head around my mother failing in health. It became a very difficult thing to watch. And it was a mysterious illness. And I hate to even call it an illness because I have my own theories about it, but it was just watching her fail over time. And then she passed away 3 years ago. So, and what I found is people would even say to me, Dana, you look different. Like during the time when my mother was failing, they could read it on my face. I mean, the stress was very heavy and I could feel it. And I almost became, I guess, mad at times that I had this great life. You know, I'm doing my business, doing my writing, my creative stuff. You know, I have a wonderful husband and kids. And I thought, I have all these great things, but I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling very depressed or blah. And I just thought to myself, and I was writing my book at the time, and I thought, how do I still feel joy and stay connected to joy even in the face of this kind of difficulty? And it's not unique to me, the struggle was unique to me. And one of the things I noticed one day, I was speaking to my mother on the phone and she was quite upset. And I was always trying to be strong and hold it together for her. And I said, Mama, I have to go. I have a client that was calling and it was, you know, waiting for a proposal approval. And so I said, I'll call you later. So I hung up and I was feeling very, you know, depressed from the conversation. And I, you know, with all my fake mustery, you know, mustered up all my fake happiness, I'm like, good morning, Dana Lloyd, and had the conversation. It was a very short conversation. But what I noticed after that few minute conversation with my client is that my emotional state had shifted. And I thought, oh, wait a sec now. Just a few moments ago, I was sad when I was talking to my mother, and now I'm feeling relieved and okay again. And I recognized, oh, I could shift emotional states, that I was actually in control of it. That was really began the aha moment as I was writing my book, and I realized, oh, that's what my book has to be about. It's really about finding joy, meaning, and fulfillment. That is my, I guess my goal now is to find those unique ways that we can go inside and get in touch with that space, which I call your highest self. And that's what I began to do.
It's so good. And so I think the thing that I, you know, and I've certainly struggled with this, and there's these moments where, you know, life's pressures and all of the chaos that surrounds you sort of, it weighs on you. Right. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of get, and I feel like I've learned this from you too, that stinking thinking, and you can get stuck in that space. And yes. It really is I hate to say this, but it's a choice to stay in that state, 100%. That you're allowing whatever's happening into your world, allow your state of mind to stay in a negative or a glass half full space. Yes. And it's so crazy, just to your point, you know, someone, you know, maybe it's a potential client that calls. And so you need to flip a switch instantly and be like, you know, good morning, Terri Ann Richards, just like you said, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden your state is different. And that was because you made a decision, you made a choice. Yes. But it's crazy how we get stuck and we forget that that is how easy it is.
Yeah. And I think for me is that you have to really adopt the philosophy. Well, you don't have to, you don't have to do anything, but I know for myself, I knew that it was my job. And I always say, people can't steal your peace or your joy. You walk away from it. And you know, when you say that, people are like, but that person's acting this way and they're making me feel like that. I'm like, nobody can make you feel like that. You are actually in control of it. Because here's the thing, once you become connected to your highest self, and I know I explained this at the talk at the Balance Retreat, but in my book, I call it a spiritual scale. You can call it an emotional scale. You know, on one side of the ledger is your highest self. And on the other side is our ego, which is really where our inner critic resides, that tells all those limiting beliefs. So my goal really is to stay connected to my highest self, that space of love and gratitude. And so, having that experience with my mother, I realized that I can always connect to that. I'm aware of it, that nobody can, I will have to walk myself back to joy. And when you're connected to your highest self, you see all the chaos. Now you're just an observer of it and no longer a participant, right? So when someone brings it to your doorstep, it's not your thing, right? And even if someone's coming against you and I see them walking up my path, I already know what I must do. I already know I must extend forgiveness or let it go and be detached from that outcome. You know, still be able to deal with it from a place of peace, but not jump into the drama and because nothing gets solved from that space.
So the drama, oh gosh, I still remember a couple, probably, I don't know, about 10 years ago, everything's 10 years ago. See, I'm just going to keep going to everything's 10 years ago.
Give or take
10 years. I remember Patricia Donaghy in St. John talking about the drama triangle, that like, if you play in that, you're either going to be the hero, you know, sounds lovely, but it's actually not, because you'll flip very quickly to potentially the victim, or you're the villain. You're forever in this vortex of somebody's got to be the negative and somebody's got to be the positive and somebody's got to be hurting, you know, the victim.
Someone's got to be a winner.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, if you just step out of that, the world looks so much different. But I think the challenge is, I love having these conversations with you, Dana, because you just seem like you have your shit together. And you just
I wouldn't say that, but I do say, one of the things from writing the book, I have spiritual clarity, and not that I've arrived, but it continues to deepen. So, and I say literally from that spiritual ledger, I always know where I am. So I say every morning you get to take a spiritual journey. When you wake up, and I think I said this at your talk, you know, it's like when you go into the mall and you see a big red dot on the mall directory and it says, you are here. Where is here? You have to ask yourself every morning, are you waking up on the ego side of the ledger? You're already in your morning meeting, you're worried about things, maybe you're mad, you're anxious about something, or are you in the space of your highest self? And if you're not in the space of your highest self, that's your time to move yourself there before your day begins. That may be a gratitude rant. That may be just breathing in the morning, like presence. There's so much power in the present moment. So there's many ways that we can shift there. But if you get out of your bed with the ego running your day, well, good luck. And that's happened to me so many times in my life, and even still. But the difference is, I'm aware of it. And I will always say, when you have that spiritual ledger, if I'm on the ego side, the speed at which I return to my highest self is a sign of my spiritual maturity, because I know that does not serve me. And for many, many years, I was stuck in my ego. I didn't even realize I was. I thought that horrible voice in my head was my own. And it's like this nasty little ego of somehow that you've picked up, whether it's from parents, teachers, friends, bullies, who knows? Just little stupid comments people have said to you, and you've believed them, and then you internalize them and use them against yourself.
Yeah. They become a part of your DNA. They become the story that you sell yourself.
Do. And you have to evict them.
Yeah. Evict them.
Send them packing.
But what are some of your, it's hard to give people advice on what they should do, right? Because everybody's different. But what are some of your go-to? Like, obviously you would be quote unquote, like you're in that process of awakening, right? Where, you know, you're on that journey, and I think it is forever a journey. It's definitely not a destination. So, but what are your go-to, I don't know what you call, spiritual hacks?
I like that, spiritual hacks. Well, I just mentioned. One of the big ones is gratitude. You know, gratitude, you know, if you listen to people in the spiritual world and so on, they talk about vibration and frequency. And gratitude and love are one of the highest frequencies, right? And you can even feel the difference. If I gave you the list that under my, actually, I'll look at it right here. I'll just read it out to you. The spiritual ledger. And I read out these words under ego: fake, misery, annoyed, hate, complaining, emptiness, perfection, worry, jealous, fear, past, future. You know, how would you feel? It kind of feels yucky.
It doesn't sound great, I'll tell you that.
No, but if you read these words under highest self: authenticity, joy, peace, love, gratitude, fulfillment, excellence, creativity, freedom, they are much more positive place. And you actually emotionally respond to these words. And that's the space that I'm always trying to get to, is the highest self. And I'm in and out of it all day long. It's not like I am some spiritual guru.
Yeah. Like, you're not walking on clouds every day, right?
No, okay. No. But what I recognize, what's different for me now is the awareness. And that's what consciousness is. It's the difference between conscious and unconscious in your life. And for many, many years, decades, I was unconscious. And it was really only when I began searching, when that coach said to me, you have all your cards on the table. It was beyond just what should I do in my life. It's who do I want to be? And that is a different question.
That's a way different question than most of us ask ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, because who do you want to be? I mean, you know, teacher, lawyer, you know, name it, give me a title, but that doesn't tell anything about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. We are going deep today, folks.
So I think you asked me some of the things that I do. So gratitude is one of them. So that's one of those, to connect to those nice words of authenticity. It's sometimes it's journaling for me. I do something called the morning pages.
And you got me to do those.
Yeah, they really
do. You remember how I resisted it for like 30 days? Like there was like, what's it called? The morning pages, where morning like every pages. Morning you get up and you write for like what, 20 minutes?
Well, 3 full pages, 8.5 by 11. So if the pen's moving constantly, you're not taking too many mental cigarette breaks. It should be 20, it could be 40. Your mind wanders. Yeah. But just even doing that, that is just a stream of consciousness. And that was so powerful because it just connected me to my intuition. And remember that inner critic I talked about, it actually helped let the crazy run. And then the good stuff shows up, you know?
I have so many good quotes from you from this episode. Let the crazy run. Oh, I just,
you know, it's just that stuff that drives you crazy. And, I would say develop an inner coach. One of the things in coaching that we've learned to help our clients is to name the inner critic. So I was forever doing that because it is a great technique. So when it shows up in a coaching session, you have to send it packing. But one day it occurred to me when I was coaching a client, I thought, wait a sec, why aren't we focusing on the positive and develop an inner coach? Because even when I shift your attention to the inner critic and ask you to send it packing, your attention is on the negative versus, you know, listen to the cheerleader, not the critic. And so when we name that inner coach and call that girl forth when you need her versus always have to send the negative person packing. So that's a little technique. And just get on a good rant. What are some encouraging statements that inner coach would say to you? Right? It might say, you got this, you can do it. You've done this before. You don't need to know everything right now. You're starting small. That's where everybody starts. All of the, you know, that could be a journal entry, you know? So that's a good one. And the other one that's really powerful that we overlook is the power of our breath. And, you know, that's free. There's no fancy workshop. Just think about how often you breathe deeply. Most of us are like running through. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. We're running. But in order to really sense your breath, like follow where your breath goes, do a nice deep breath in and a nice deep breath out. And suddenly you're in touch with that inner space, that inner, the highest self that I was talking about. You're in touch with presence. And that's where the true happiness is. Everything, that's the portal to happiness, is in the present moment. That's where your potential is. That's where your intuition comes from. That's where creativity comes from, because you're not anxious or worrying about tomorrow or the next 5 minutes. But, and I've seen this, you know, being used very powerfully. I had a friend who was had an anxiety attack, and I went to help her one day, and I didn't realize it was an anxiety attack or panic attack, something like that. And I soon realized the only tool I had in my toolbox, because she wasn't making sense, you know, I couldn't talk her down, was I said, literally follow my breath. And I just sat beside her and I said, match my breath. So hers was erratic. And I just took a long, deep breath in and a long, deep breath out. I just kept doing it. And suddenly I noticed hers would eventually match mine. And it was like we were off a ledge. And I was like, wow, that was, you know, because so many of us want to fix something. We want to say the right thing. And in that moment, she was tuning everything out. And
she just needed to breathe.
And she just needed to breathe and took her to a different state. So I recognized in that moment the power of breath. And if anybody's interested or has done meditation, I started it last year. And there's something about that, starting your day with presence. That's another way to do it if you're
interested. So do you do guided meditations or
no.
Okay, what
no.
do you do?
After I had Stephen Joyce on my podcast, I was quite inspired to do meditation. Then I had some other guests who talked, and I was like, you're meditators too. All these successful people were meditators. And I find it, you know, Howard Stern's a meditator, a lot of celebrities, people who have had a lot of success.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes, all these people. But part of these are creative people. They understand the importance of their craft. They know they need to give themselves space. And where else, if you don't carve it out, who's going to do it? And so it's it's amazing. And I know for me, I thought, well, I'm going to try this meditation thing. You know, I'm like, I don't know what sitting still for 20 minutes is going to do, but I'm going to give it
something
a go.
I would say, I'm going to try this thing.
I'm going to commit to it for 6 months. And what I did notice, so when I talk about the ego and the highest self, so these tools and tips and tricks I'm giving you are where you purposely have to shift yourself to the highest self. But what meditation does is it brings you there naturally. You don't have to overcome it. You slip into your highest self. And I thought, well, okay, this is a powerful little thing.
Wow.
Start your day with that.
So I don't know if I got the gist of your meditation. Mm-hmm. Like, what type of meditation do you do? I'm always curious.
I'm supposed it would fall under transcendental meditation, but I haven't taken any training. Oh, okay. I think that has to do with a mantra. My only mantra is I literally pay attention to my breath, and I might even repeat the word breathe because I'll forget.
Yeah. That's like TM. I studied TM.
Yeah. So, I literally just set my alarm for 20 minutes. You know, I wake up, go pee, come back to the bed. Cause I know if I leave my room, that's it. Off running to the races. That day will take off.
Yeah.
And you just set the alarm on my phone and sit there and breathe, sit up straight, no lying down. And, I've tried the guided meditation. I do that at night if I'm trying to fall asleep, but I just realized I just need the power of my own space and just sit there.
It's crazy for me. And I'm having my own moment right now while listening to you. And I don't know if you call them serendipitous moments. I sometimes get my words mumbled, folks. So, I think that's what it is, but I feel like over the last 3 weeks, these are the things that I've been learning about. And it's like, these are really simple practices that most individuals that I've had the pleasure of interviewing, or, you know, books that I've read or podcasts I've listening to, all of them talk about these very simple things they do to lower stress, to have, you know, overall better mental health, but also to catapult their success. Like, they attribute a lot of their successes in life to these simple practices. Like right now I'm finishing up, I think it's called The Miracle Equation, a book by Hal Elrod, the guy who wrote Miracle Mornings. And, you know, a couple weeks ago I was learning about, it's called this 75 Hard. And it's basically like 6 or 7 basic practices that you do every day to basically rewire your neural pathways in being a success. So committing to something and doing these simple practices of having, you know, a good morning routine and, you know, treating your body well and all of this stuff. But I feel like the universe is obviously trying to give me a sign right now, because I did simple. So, but I think that's it. I think when things are simple, you want to make them complicated. You want to go and do something that's, you know, bigger and overt, and that's the thing that's going to, you know, settle your mind and, you know, do all the great things that you want to do. But the reality is they're just simple practices, you know, gratitude. And, you know, I love yoga and I'm learning to meditate, but I struggle. Oh, Dana, I struggle with sitting still for 20 minutes, like to the point where,
and
like,
that means you need it.
I know, that's what everybody keeps saying to me. But have you ever watched a kid?
For me.
Have you ever watched a kid that, like, the mom or dad or like your own kid, and you've told them to sit still, and then it's like ants are in their pants, like they start like twitching and like they're itchy in their head, and then like their toe hurts and like everything is just flaring. That's me when I sit down to meditate. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say follow your breath. Try focusing on your breath.
I think I have a problem.
Yeah, no, because everybody says that. And I tried meditation for years too, guided, whatever, could not. I'm looking with one eye open, looking at the timer. And I thought, you know, I could spend 20 minutes scrolling Instagram and that would fly by. It's only 20 minutes. And one of the things, I wrote a blog about it, actually, it's called My Imperfect Meditation on my website. It may be of help to you. I didn't start with 20 minutes. I started with like 1 minute or 2 minutes. Oh. And did that for a week. Because for me, it wasn't about conquering the meditation. It was what you said, sitting still. So, and then you actually feel good, right?
Yeah. Well,
because so low.
Well, that you set it so low that you can succeed. And I think that's the issue. I'm like a 0 or 60 girl. So it's like, I don't really do middle ground. Yes. It's like, I'm either all out or all in.
Yes. We have to do it right the first time, but give yourself a month to lead up to it or something. Like, give yourself a big leeway, you know,
like true story. This past weekend, whatever, within within the last 10 years.
Recently.
No, I'm just joking. we went for a healing session, my friend and I, and we invited a gentleman, he's actually from Moncton, New Brunswick, Alex Cormier. And one of the very first things he did to do this, like, cause we did this like 4-hour session with him, was to meditate. And he's like, so we're going to do a 35-minute meditation. And I just like, he must've looked at my eyes and was like, the fear.
Heard your gasp.
The fear that came out. Like you would like, thought my life was in danger. Like I was like, and then, you know, so now we're going into meditation mode and I lasted about 4 minutes and I was one-eyeing. I was like looking at him. I was looking at her. I was like, what are they doing? They look calm. How come I'm not calm? And then I had all these questions in my head. But then there was a moment where I surrendered and I was like, well, this isn't going away anytime soon. And there's nobody to talk to. So I calmed my breath and then I guess I meditated because then all of a sudden it was done. And I laughed because I thought he let us off easy. Like I thought we were done early, but no, we did like the full 35 minute meditation. I was like, did we really?
Yeah. And it's so interesting that you say that, because that was the other thing that I noticed that I mentioned in my blog was it becomes timeless. And so all the antsy pants stuff that I had going on before, because when you're in your ego, in your mind, 20 minutes seems like forever, but when you really actually start to get in touch with that inward space, it's timeless. And that's what it feels like. And it feels like it flies by. And I still have moments where, you know, there are days when I'm antsy and it's because I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'm connecting to what I need to do or what have you. So I call it an imperfect practice because that's just what it is. And if you miss a day or whatever, you just pick it up tomorrow. Like
exactly.
You know, well, I love that you wrote that inner coach.
I love that you wrote a blog post about it. I will make sure that that's in the show notes, folks, in case you are interested as I am to read on how to have this imperfect practice. Because I think sometimes, maybe not all the time, but most entrepreneurs, we kind of play in that A zone where like we're just perfectionists. We want it to be done.
That's the ego, yeah. Right? We're connected to the ego. The overachiever says we must do it. We must do it now. We must do it well. We must get it right. And oh my God, how much pressure is that?
It's a ton of pressure. So, if you could see my office right now and all the sticky notes that tell me what I'm supposed to be doing at what time, it's just it's so much pressure, Dana.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to meditate after this.
Back to your highest self. Yeah. Call forth the inner coach. And what would she say to you?
She would say a whole lot. Probably would sound like, I think she's going to come to me in your voice too.
Oh yeah. That's funny.
So tell me a little bit about your business. Like who is it that you, like who's your ideal client? What do you do with them? What sort of a process do you take them through? Lay it on me. Nice and thick.
Well, in terms of one-on-one leadership clients, you know, it's a discovery process, you know, to make sure we're fit. I'm interested in, you know, working with people who want to be better leaders, which really are people who want to grow personally. And a person that you can have open conversations with over, a series of conversations over time, because, you know, just like everything else, this is not a quick fix. You know, don't hire me if you're looking for a quick fix. This is something that you have a partner that you can have confidential conversations with. And what begins to happen is that patterns emerge, right? And usually when we go through the discovery process, that's where we unearth what you're going to work on. We start to identify values and then just, it's like, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. So you want to just take one little thing at a time and we begin to work on it. And so a lot of that work, even we call it leadership, it ends up being personal work. It may be they're poor communicators. It could be even things like how they word their emails, very curt. You know, answer with a K, literally a capital K, but it's things like that that begin to emerge or come to light. It may be culture, but all that relates back to the leader. And so it really is all about that personal development and coming at it from different angles and the person be willing to show up and do the work. Because at the end of the day, I'm really holding up a mirror and asking the questions and just to see what the response is. But then we create an action plan because coaching is all about forwarding the action or deepening the learning in some way and having the courage to take on some of the challenges. So, and hence we grow. So So that's a big piece of it. And of course, you know, being an author, selling books, that's a piece of my business. I mean, I have a podcast, which, you know, feeds in as a marketing tool as well. But it's all as a way to create more content and to reach more people. Because I recognize working one-on-one with people, you're only reaching a certain number of people.
Correct.
And you, in order to have greater impact, it's the podcast, it's the, you know, writing books, it's connecting people in that way. So
have you written your second book yet?
I'm still working on it. So I'm hoping that it'll be finished before Christmas. But of course, with all this COVID business and book launches, I'm not sure what that looks like. But I've just recently entered back into the editing process for that. And I realize why I've been avoiding it. Because it's a lot of work.
They say you should never edit your own stuff. And I agree.
Yeah, well, it's editing in terms of like rewriting and piecing things together, that kind of editing. I'm like not satisfied with that, moving this stuff, that kind of stuff around.
No, I get that. It's like when I wrote my first book and then, you know, I took people's advice not to edit my own stuff. But the reality is when you go back and you read one of the chapters that you thought were done, then new ideas come and,
And at some point you have to draw a finish line, but it's normally a finish line inside. I can normally feel it when I've gotten the message out, or, you know, that I've finished what I wanted to say. But yeah.
What's your book called?
Well, the first one's called Soul Prescription, 101 Ways to Find Joy, Meaning, and Fulfillment. And the second one I'm writing is Soul Prescription. It's in a series, but it's for women, and it's encouraging the woman within.
Look at you and your little marketing skills. You're going to be like the chicken soup for the soul series, but it's going to be...
I told you, I'm more of a creative than I am an entrepreneur.
Hey, it's obviously working. I love it. So what's on your roster for 2020? What's your big... I don't know if I would say it, but you're like... Because 2020 has been a little weird. So what's the big thing you want to accomplish in 2020?
Yeah, 2020 feels like plot twist. You know, it's like somebody else. Oh, okay, we're going to do this. For me, it's finishing my book. And with COVID coming in and us having to respond to this pandemic, I'm watching other people in their business actually and shifting to try to create a more online business, because you see that it's working. Who knows how long this is going to be for? And also, I'm always thinking about reach, you know, in terms of greater impact. You know, I haven't done workshops in a while, but I feel more and more called to talk about this kind of stuff that I talk about in Soul Prescription, because it's stuff, whether you're a leader or a person in your life or in a relationship, it's all about your own personal growth. And to your point, earlier in the recording, really, I don't know how you can give up on anything unless you've done this work first, you know, exiting relationships or creating drama or whatever it is, unless you have personally done the work and really examined, have I done everything I could possibly do? Like I just interviewed someone the other day and they were talking about the inner work and they said, it's actually the last frontier. And it's so true. It's like, we're always going outward, you know, as humans, we're, you know, settling lands or doing whatever. But we forget that there's another frontier that we can actually go search and explore and probably gives us greater answers and more fulfillment. And that is that inner work.
Yeah, I totally would have to agree with you. I think it's easy to avoid it you know, the inner work is actually like the really freaking hard work. And, you know, it makes you question a lot of your past experiences, the way that you showed up, it makes you own a lot of shit. And that part's always hard because it's so much easier to just be like, yeah, that was his fault. Totally his fault. Relationship fell apart because it was him. But then you got to like look at yourself and to your point, that's how I wrote my book, right? When I wrote my book, I wrote it from my perspective in being in a relationship and how I mucked up. You know, I didn't go into any details of how he mucked up because that's his shit. He's going to have to go deep and figure that stuff out. But for me, I was like, how do I come out of this and survive divorce, but also never make these same mistakes again? And the easiest way for me, because I am also a creative, is to just write it out. And it became a book.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, difficulties, you know, present as opportunities to be better versions of ourselves. And so we're just constantly giving birth to a new self. And it's not about to hate the old self, you know, raise her up, celebrate her because she brought you to who you are today. She had to be courageous. She had to follow her intuition. She had to make mistakes, you know, to get to where she is. So to me, it's all about celebration of who you are and not hating it. I mean, sometimes you might have a difficult past or shameful past, or, you know, we don't all the uncomfortableness we don't want to look at, especially everything that we see that's going on in our current climate. And, it's about, you know, loving who we are and just trying to do better as we go forward. You know, Maya Angelou, that, you know, when you know better, you do better. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah. But I think what you just said was really powerful, because, you know, it's so easy to be upset with potentially the regrets of, you know, yesterday's past. But the reality is, you know, by learning and by growing, you are the version of you, you know, Dana 2.0, Terri-Ann, mm-hmm. you know, 2.0. I'm who I am because there had to be like a Terri-Ann 1.0 first.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. And okay. I think that's the beautiful process of the, you know, the journey. You know, it's one thing if someone just keeps moving through life and they don't learn anything, you know, with age does not come, you know, wisdom, you know, it really comes from actually, you know, reflecting on it and what am I learning and what should I be getting? And we'll continue to make mistakes.
Yep.
That's the nature of the beast.
That's kind of the beauty of it. And the fact that everybody else is also going to continue making mistakes makes it a little bit easier to digest.
Yes, it's true. And that's where, you know, I think about, you know, judgment. Often judgment is cast against people. And I often think, you know, if I can't make a mistake, then neither can you. And, you know, to be able to really, it's not let people off the hook, you know, you still hold people accountable, but to really understand, when I say I see you, it's like I'm separating how you showed up from, you know, your divine spark, who you really are. So, and that's the, you know, I guess the consciousness or light in me trying to see the light in you, right? So
it's giving people grace, right? Mm. Yeah, giving people grace. I love that you just said I see you, because I watched Avatar last night and that's their greeting.
It's so funny. I just listened to an Oprah podcast, so talk about things coming into your, you know, your mind or something. Yes. And she was interviewing James Cameron about Avatar. And this is exactly what they were talking about. So
I love it. I just like
I'm
when
not
they
sure
did
what
it.
That means.
Well, I think it's sort of like I accept you. Like, that's what I felt like. I don't know. I was having like,
oh yes. For the, I see you. Yeah. For me, it's really separating the highest self from the ego. Really. Yeah. I'm saying, I see, you know, the love in you. I see that piece. And because we show up with a whole lot of baggage, depending on how we were raised or how we've lived or what have you. And, so when you have people who can extend you grace and say, I see you and love you for who you are, it's pretty powerful.
So true. I could talk to you for hours. So how can people connect with you, Miss Dana?
My website, danaloydleadership.com. So if you go on there, if you're interested in hearing more, there's actually a couple different audio clips that I've put up there. One from more of a life coaching perspective in terms of wellness, joy, and another one from, you know, things you can do to be a better leader right now. You can connect with me on the podcast, Soul Sister Conversations. So I also drop weekly conversations about people's authentic journeys and personal development and leadership. And of course, they really do always have a spiritual edge to them.
Yes.
And of course my books on Amazon or Instagram. I'm Dana Lloyd Leadership. Same thing on Twitter, LinkedIn. So all sorts of ways.
She's basically everywhere that you need to find her. So I will make sure all of those links are in the show notes. Last question, final question. Mm-hmm. Are you prepared? Are you ready for this?
I don't know.
Okay. This is my favorite question.
Let's go for it.
What does perspective shifting mean to you?
Well, simply, it really comes back to the whole ego versus highest self, because that is to me, the greatest shift that you can make is to that spiritual space, that space within. Because when you shift to your highest self, your perspective automatically shifts. You looking at the world in a different lens. Like I said, if you were involved in drama or some situation that was causing you a difficulty, if you're in the space of your higher self, you're no longer a participant and just an observer. And, an automatic perspective shift comes when you shift to the space of your highest self.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm always so, inspired and excited at the same time, because I love perspective shifting. Mm-hmm. But every time I ask this question to someone, I get a completely different answer, which basically proves my point that we all have different perspectives and we need to be able to look at it from each person's perspective. I love this. Love it.
That's so true.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day today to come on the show, and I hope you have a great day.
Oh, thank you, Terri-Ann. This was awesome.